Okay, so first, with what I overlooked, Jan already placed the reading this morning in the context of where it's found here in John. But for me, this particular passage is a pivotal piece when it comes to peace within the church in many ways. Because what it declares is that our starting point is not based on what we believe. It's not based on what we do. It's not based on what we've seen. It's based on any ideas? I am the resurrection and the life. It's based on what God has done through Jesus. Period. That's the beginning point. Andrew Wiles is a missiologist, a theologian that's written a great deal about mission. And I'm blanking on the title of the book where he says this in particular. But one of his things, he says, at the heart of mission is the cross. And with each step away from the cross, we take ourselves further from God's intention in mission. And so, to begin with this, as we think about dry bones and as we think about the future of this congregation, we think about what the next steps look like, the next years look like, the next, I won't say millennial, but what kind of place do we want to be for this girl to grow up in? What do we want to be? That's part of the question. So we have to look at what God is doing. So I skipped over this part entirely. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He asks Martha. And she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. So she recognizes Jesus there as this event, not just a person. She recognizes Jesus as an event that shows what God is doing in the world. Jesus is the one who shows us the way, the truth, and the life. He demonstrates through the way he lived. And not only that, Jesus embodies the presence of God through his resurrection in a way that in his life alone we didn't see. So, in other words, Jesus showed us how to live, but then he also, the resurrection, what it means to me is that it's God's amen to the way Jesus lived. So if we look at Philippians 2 and that early hymn, it talks about how Jesus lived, and then it gets to that therefore. So it talks about how Jesus lived and his ministry and so on and so forth, and then his death. And then it says, therefore, God raised him up. And the logic of that passage in Philippians chapter 2 is that that first hymn was saying, essentially, had Jesus not lived the way he lived, God never would have raised him. That's simple logic. But what it does is it says that God said amen to the way Jesus lived. So we cannot ignore the way Jesus lived. So that's point number one. Now, when I first met this congregation, I heard a lot about dry bones. We're meeting. I didn't even have a clue where we were. The first time I came here, it was actually the first time I came was the Sunday of the marathon. And in something of a panic, Ann Ulrich wrote me a little text message or an email, not knowing that I never look at email in the morning. Or, you know, I would never expect to hear from, she should have written a text, I would have seen it there. She could have called me, I would have at least answered. But anyway, she didn't. So I get here and I have no clue where I'm going because the road was blocked for everything my GPS was telling me. And so I had no idea where I was going. And then finally it brought me up. I sort of weaseled my way around a little bit. And I got to a point a few blocks over where the road was barred off. And then I thought, oh, okay, that's what I needed to do. I needed to somehow get there on that road on Lucas Creek coming from the other direction and I would have been fine. But anyway, I get here and I thought, huh, okay, we're meeting back there. No, actually that was the second visit. Because the first time I pulled up and there was no indication of where we were meeting. All the cars were in the back. And the Sunday school was over here and somebody was outside and we went in with the Sunday school over there. But the feeling I had was that not that, one, I didn't know how do we welcome people? You know, does this congregation expect visitors? You know, when there's good signage, you're expecting visitors. When there's no signage, you're not. And we were sort of a no signage place. Finally got a little bit of sign, but anyway, that's kind of how it felt at first. But at the same time, I'd heard stories about this building and how it was moldy and all kinds of stuff. I'd heard issues about the school and the relationship between the church and the school and the sort of meltdown with the school board. I'd heard about the collapse of the Virginia Mennonite Conference and how there were accusations of abuse of power and so forth of the conference minister or whatever his role was. It was in the middle of COVID, at the beginning of the time, prior to COVID, or did John leave during COVID? I don't know. Anyway, I think he left during COVID. I think he, because I came along in 2022, or 23. So yeah, I think John left during COVID. So anyway, the point is you have all these layers of transition. And in many situations, just one might have been enough. You know, when I started to hear about all this stuff, I thought, you know, This group is amazingly resilient, you know, because when you're really fragile, how much does it take for things to crack? Just one more grain. It's like crystallizing sugar, right? You know, you've got the sugar going there, it's going fine. And there's this balance between when it gets just enough, then it, you know. So the not enough and just enough is a very slow, just like burning butter, you know? It gets to a certain point, poof, it's burned. You know, gotta start over again. So here, I looked at this congregation and I had this sort of accumulating list of things and so forth. And it's like, what holds this congregation together? Because what I'm hearing about is all kinds of dry bones. But the thing is, when there are dry bones that are completely dry, it takes, what does it take? It takes the new sinew, the the sinews to be rebuilt, the ligaments, all that stuff to be put in, flesh and flesh meaning meat, you know, to be put in those bones. And the Spirit of God brings those bones to life. They're actually kind of standing up and climbing up and so forth. We sounds already to be like life. But then what happens is that God says, now prophesy to bring on the Spirit, because they're not alive. They don't have the Spirit. They're still dry bones. They've got new flesh. They've got new form, but there's no Spirit. So breathe. And God breathed into those dry bones, flesh-covered bones, but God breathed into them new life. Now, in John chapter 11, we've got a very similar story, right? You know, we don't really know a whole lot about the story of Lazarus and his relationship with Jesus and so forth, but we've got the Mary Martha story, his sisters there in Luke. And so we get a little bit of the context of these relationships. And through this story, we see of Jesus's great love for Lazarus and his grieving the loss with them. And then we actually find out that, you know, Jesus has come. Jesus took his time going there. You know, he didn't rush as soon as he heard something was going on and so forth. He took his time getting there. And then he gets to Mary and Martha and says, show me where he's buried. And he says, oh, you know, are you sure about this? Because it's really starting to smell. You know, it's really a pretty foul thing you're wanting to go see. And he says, yes, yes, yes. Roll the stone away. And then he calls to Lazarus to come out. And then when he comes out, Lazarus doesn't look like he still looks like rotting bones. You know, he's not pretty. It's not a pretty sight. It's not a fragrant sight. It's a fragrant sight, but not an agreeable fragrance. And Jesus says, unbind him. You know, take. So he's maybe sort of zombie-ish, I don't know, when he comes out. And he's got all this material on him. And they say, okay, take off the bindings and set him free. Now, the spiritualization of that is to say, you know, to make it quick, you say, part of our journey is to recognize our dry bones, you know, on the personal level. We've each got our journey there, and we each need to ask God, you know, where have I dried up? Where am I burned out? You know it, you see it, but I'm blind to it. You know, what we see, there's this thing called the Johari window. Do you all know about the Johari window? It takes a square like this, and then you put this divider in it like this, and there are four quadrants. There's what I know, and there's what others know. And then it's like what I know, and what I don't know that I know, something like that. But Ryan, it was referred to once by one of our secretaries of state. But anyway, in the general, no, what it's talking about is there are things about me that are obvious to you, but I don't know anything about it. And there are things that are about you that are obvious to me, but you don't know anything about it. But it's only in the context of our relationship and sharing together that you get to know more what other people see about you. So your self-awareness grows. And at the same time, it means that your lack of awareness about yourself shrinks. So it's when we're in community that we find out really who we are, because we have massive blind spots about what we know about ourselves and what others know about ourselves. And so it's only in the community process that we come to know that. Now, anyway, I wasn't planning to say that, but I want to get to that spiritual awareness that God has to help us to learn what it is that others see about us and know about us that we do not know. And to be fully ourselves, really, it's through that encounter with Jesus and the community that we come to understand who we are ourselves. Now, what I meant to jump to there was that for me, what is it that holds us together as a group of people? We're a congregation, right? So when you think about that list I shared about all the different setbacks, in a sense, that you've gone through as a congregation. And here, you know, the reason I'm talking about this is one of the things that I don't quite understand is we haven't, you know, first of all, 2.5 years ago, when I started Halftime with a contract, I was never commissioned. You know, when there's a fully functioning board, one of the first things they say is, you know, like I jump in, I see this little girl here, and the first thing I want to do is hold her up and pray for her. And if I had known that they were coming, I would have brought a rose. We've got nice red roses in our backyard, and I would have clipped a few and brought them in a vase and so forth. You know, it's sort of, I saw that little thing there, the little bassinet or whatever, and I thought, oh, dang, I'm not prepared, you know? But see, this is the thing, is that we have a lot of things that keep us together, but one of the rituals that we don't have is celebration. You know? We don't, you know, and this is not trying to fault anybody, okay? But the thing is, I could have been asking, when, let me know if Leanne is planning to come to church with the baby. But I didn't, you know? And so had there been a culture of expectation in the congregation, that would have come naturally. Had there been a culture of expectation, we would have maybe done a parade the day that we, that Easter a year ago, or however long it is now. It's this, that was just this year. It was last year. Okay, time flies. We must be having a blast. But anyway, we started meeting here, but we could have started, if this would have been Africa, we would have had a dance, singing songs, going from the barren desert into the promised land. That's what we would have done. You know, we would have had not just an anointing, we would have had ribbons for Mel and Sherry. This is if we were in Africa, okay? I know that you're not that happy, you know? Well, you just don't show it very much, you know? You know? Or you know not. Okay, sorry. Cross the line there. You show it, but it's very internalized, you know? When's the last time you shouted out, "Hallelujah"? Never. You know? What? Okay. Okay, there you go. Why wouldn't you shout hallelujah here? You know? You know? What? Go ahead.
It's a bit showy.
It's a bit showy. Yes. Far be it from me to be showy. We're Mennonites, exactly. You know, we're Mennonites. We don't do emotion very well. You know, the whole gamut of emotion, whether we've been somewhere, we don't show it. When we're happy as heck, we don't show it. One hit slows us down. When we get hit with another thing, it slows us down a little bit more. When we get hit with another thing, it slows us down a bit more. And it's like having covers on your bed in the winter, that if you get too many blankets and comforters on, there's a point at which you don't even know if you can move anymore. You know? So when you get so many hits, it takes time to walk out that stone. You know, the stone's moved away. Lazarus maybe can see, I don't know. But somehow he makes it to the entry, and Jesus can see him, and he says, "Take off the bandages. Let him go." So the question for me is, you know, this place, we funeral behind this buried. We had some upcoming events for the school. We're reweaving. We're re that's a translation from Ritise. We're reuniting the tissues. Okay? The tissues that held this body together and that seemed to be falling apart, but they didn't fall apart completely. Why? Because the depth of relationship here isn't just familial. You know, one of our strongest points is that we have strong relationships. That doesn't mean that there aren't those who come and say, "This place isn't for me." But what it does show, what it does mean, is that we have spiritual relational depth that we haven't walked away. And what's happening is that God's putting flesh on these here bones. The structure, not overnight. How many nights did it take, Sherry? No. It's taken a lot of nights to go from roof collapse and all this stuff and redesign and reconfiguration. You know, and there are plenty of times that you say, "Do we even have the strength to do this?" And the resounding thing that comes back is no. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I give even this confused message to Pat in three installments for the bulletin. She only includes the one passage, but Pat had seen the earlier, Jan had seen the earlier ones, and so had Noah, and so he picks appropriate music for the whole thing, you know? But the thing is, that is the Spirit of God saying, inspiring our worship. And I'm amazed so often how just the right song has been chosen. It blows me away. So anyway, I'm going to stop there in just like two more minutes. But the point of it is that When Ryan Algram, he's my overseer, our overseer. With Ryan, he asked me, "What's your goal for this year?" And I said, I'd be happy as heck if they say, "Steve, thanks, but we don't need you anymore, because we're ready to go." And I said, that's kind of a pipe dream as far as it stands here. But I would love for that to be what happens. Because I worked my whole career to be invisible. My whole career, my hope all the time with each project was that the leadership would take complete charge of everything, and that they would feel no need to come back to me on stuff. And it's taken a few years, but right now, a set of meetings just ended in South Africa that I would normally have been going to. And what blew me away is one of the CIS pictures that was sent to me, there were a lot of people I didn't recognize from only a year and a half. And what's my reaction to that? Yay! My reaction to that is hallelujah. My reaction to that is, I love to go to a congregation that I've visited before and be able to say, anybody who recognizes me, please raise your hand, and have only a few people, because it means that there are all these people that are now part of this group that have come together to be a congregation, and they don't even recognize me. That's, for me, the goal. And not that I have anything against you all, but I wouldn't mind at all if this whole place was filled with new folks, because that's how it is. We want to be a place for you to grow up and be happy in. And she's already happy. So we don't want to take your joy, dear girl. We want to welcome you into the body of Christ. We want to welcome you into this space, and we want to be a space that you're proud to grow up in, and that brings people to understand this resurrection and life that we find through Jesus Christ. Amen.